Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're beginning a discussion of the soon return of Jesus to this earth. My purpose in doing this is to dispel fear and misconceptions that many people have concerning the return of Jesus. Things seem to just be going nuts in the world and in our own country. That's generating fear. And there's a lot of misinformation, particularly on Christian TV, about what we as Christians need to be doing in the face of what's going on in our world. I don't want to argue with anybody about anything. I simply feel a responsibility to people who consider Riches in Christ a food source. And I know there are many of you that are regular listeners, and this is a main food source for you. I pray for you every day, and I also feel a responsibility to help you as much as I can with accurate knowledge from the Word of God. Times are going to grow increasingly difficult for a whole lot of reasons, and accurate knowledge of the Word of God is our defense in the midst of the chaos that is unfolding on this earth. And what I want to do is give you a framework I want to give you a framework from the Bible of God's plan of redemption and how it will be completed. Because that's what the second coming is all about. It's not some freaky yet fascinating subject stuck on the end of the Bible in a book called Revelation. It's about the completion of the plan of God, a plan conceived in eternity past. God created human beings to become sons and daughters through faith in Christ, and he made the earth to be home for his family. That plan got off track through sin. The first man, Adam, his sin plunged the race and the earth itself into bondage to sin, Satan, corruption, and death. But God was not taken by surprise. He knew this would happen, and he immediately began to unveil his plan of redemption, or his plan to deliver men and women and the earth itself from this pitiful condition. He promised the coming of a redeemer. He began to gradually unfold what the redeemer would be like and what he would do and how the plan of redemption would be accomplished, inspiring men called prophets to write down these revelations. That became what you and I know as the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament prophets wrote that the Lord would one day come to establish his visible kingdom on this earth and make things right. Now, that's about a 30-second statement summarizing a topic that I could spend a week actually lining the scriptures out for you from the Old Testament. But by the time Jesus came to earth, the people who were looking for him, the Old Covenant Jews who were looking for their Redeemer, they were expecting God to come and establish his visible kingdom on the earth, because that's what the prophets predicted. The prophets didn't see clearly that there were going to be two separate comings of Jesus, separated by at least 2,000 years. And they also did not see that the kingdom would take a form that they had not clearly seen prior to the visible kingdom being established. The kingdom or reign of God would be established in human hearts through the new birth first. Then the visible kingdom would be established. Jesus gave that revelation to his followers. He came 2,000 years ago to pay the price for sin so it could be removed, and God could then indwell his people and transform sinners into holy, righteous sons and daughters of God. Jesus went to the cross, paid the price for sin, rose from the dead, spent 40 more days on this earth. Then he and his followers walked out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus was taken up before them out of their sight. Now I'm going to start reading. I'm in Acts chapter 1. Let me start in verse 9. And when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Jesus' first message to his followers after he returned to heaven was, I'll be back. I'll be back, and I'm coming back the same way I left. You saw me ascend up into heaven, out of sight into the clouds. I'm coming out of the heavens. I'll be back. That's pretty impressive. He had only been back in heaven literally minutes, and he gives them the message, I'll be back. Now, there are at least twice as many prophecies concerning Jesus' second coming as there are his first coming. Only the doctrine of salvation is mentioned more often in the Bible than the promise of Christ's return. That makes sense, though, because his coming will complete the plan of salvation or complete the plan of redemption. Out of 27 epistles and books in the New Testament, only four of them do not refer to the return of Jesus, and three of them are single chapters or personal letters. Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John, and Galatians. Looking for Jesus or expecting Jesus is a New Testament theme. And the fact that he's coming back is supposed to affect how we live our daily lives. We could do whole lessons just on this, but I encourage you, read the epistles and mark every time reference is made to the return of Jesus and looking for Jesus. Let me just give you a couple verses here. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. It says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for. That word waiting means expecting. Expecting the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Paul's giving them other information, in passing he says, you've got gifts as you wait for the coming of the Lord, as you expect the coming of the Lord. I'm over in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about, he's going to go on to talk about the changes in our bodies when Jesus returns, but he says we're looking for him to come from heaven. And then drop down into the next chapter, verse 4, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. There's all kinds of verses talking about he's coming, and they were looking for him. They were expecting him. Why? Because he's got to complete the plan of redemption. Now, we've established a framework of information that I'm going to work off of for the next few weeks. I want to spend the rest of today and tomorrow considering one topic that has swept through the body of Christ last year, and it continues. I still hear it on Christian TV, and it's caused great fear and confusion. TV preachers are talking about the Shemitah year. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm glad for you, to be quite honest. But if you turn on Christian TV at all, you've heard this. For the past few years, the word coming forth from many TV preachers is something big is coming. Something bad is going to happen to America. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. You can't live the way we live without consequences. But it's all couched in this religious talk. Many have implied, or in some cases stated, you may recall this, there was big predictions that the rapture was going to take place in September of 2015. Well, that's come and gone. And then the collapse of America was going to occur. Well, that's come and gone. See, the problem with all that stuff is when it doesn't happen, it does damage to legitimate prophetic gifts. But they're basing all this on the fact that there was a Shemitah year from September 25th, 2014 to September 13th, 2015. And both of those dates aligned with the Jewish Feasts of Trumpets. And 2015 also had four blood moons in it that aligned with the Feast of Israel. Perhaps you've heard of all that. And preachers have been making the statement that the Shemitah year affects the financial and economic realm. It brings a time of blessing or cursing depending on your actions. And this statement is made in the context of supporting the nation of Israel. In other words, if you don't send money to us to help Israel, you're going to be cursed when all the catastrophe hits the fan. But if you send money to us to send to Israel, you'll be blessed. Now, I don't have time to discuss it all in this lesson, but I want to introduce some thoughts to you. I'm not anti-Israel. Let me say that first. I praise the Lord for Israel's place in redemptive history, and we'll discuss all that in more detail as we go along. But let's take this apart. All this stuff about, oh, and this year they're thrown in, it's a Jubilee year on top of it. So you really got to give big to our ministries. I hate all that stuff because I see people who are struggling financially and are desperate that they're sending money like they're buying a lottery ticket. It's not going to produce any return for them. Let me first, gosh, time is flying. Let me define what a Shemitah is according to the Bible. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he gave them the law. It was a collection of civil, ceremonial, and moral laws that they were to settle, or they were to follow once they settled in Canaan. It's often called the Law of Moses. Now, one of the instructions they received was that they were to observe a Sabbath year or rest the land every 7 years. They were not supposed to plant in the land every 7 years, a year of rest, a Sabbath year. Now, they were instructed to do that every 7 years, the Sabbath rest. This observance had four names given to it in the Old Testament, and each name reveals an aspect of it. It was called the rest of the entire land, and it was called the year of rest in the book of Leviticus. It was called the year of release in Deuteronomy, and it was called the seventh year in Deuteronomy. So four names, rest of the entire land, year of rest, year of release, and the seventh year. Well, that word release, year of release, in Deuteronomy 15, that word is Shemitah. That's where that word comes from. It's a Hebrew word. And that word literally, and in that year of release, all debts were wiped out, were remitted. It was not just to rest the land to increase its yield or provide a time of rest for man or beast. The purpose of this 7 year rest was to help them see that they were set apart to the Lord and that they could enjoy the bounty of the land God had given them without sweat, toil, and care. It was a picture of what the Redeemer would do. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, but, we're out of time. I'll pick it up right here tomorrow. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.